The Justin Robert Young Podcast is brought to you by everybody who supports us at patreon.com/JURY. It is also brought to you by The Contender. The Contender is the game of presidential debate. You see all these jamokes up on television trying to act like they can debate as if they would become the leader of the free world? Nay, 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 friends. Step into the political squared circle yourself thanks to The Contender. Get your pre-orders in right now, or else you might not get a chance to have this in your life by the holidays. It is thecontender.us. Yet another episode of the Justin Robert Young Podcast. Well, I certainly hope so, you know, because that's why I'm here doing it for you. Every single Sunday night. Getting a little bit of a late start here this evening because we have the wrestling. Watch the Survivor Series pay-per-view here. But, you know, wouldn't miss a Sunday. Not now. And we got a hell of a show here for you. I'm going to explain to you why everybody's freaking out over one of the biggest social issues that are currently dotting the front pages of everybody's newspapers. I am going to talk about saying goodbye. The theme this week is going to be saying goodbye, because I'm saying goodbye to a lot of things this week. We are saying hello to this brand new camera that I got. If you are watching here on YouTube, if not, YouTube.com/JustinRobertYoung. is where you need to go to subscribe. I don't plug that enough. YouTube.com/JustinRobertYoung. Especially now that I'm not on on the air a lot. On the road a lot, rather. I'm on the air all the time. There's going to be a lot more activity at YouTube.com/JustinRobertYoung. This is the place to go if you like looking at me, because I'm going to be there a lot. And, of course, everybody watching us live at DiamondClub.tv. That goes without saying. But we got a new camera. We got a Lumix. I have no idea how long this is going to last. The camera battery should last long enough to get us through the end of the show, but we're not sure. And also, the white balancing seems to be shifting at all times, because I have yet to actually understand how this thing works. Jane, get me off this crazy thing. But if you can see right now, if I go... See, this is what we had before, and that looks way too cold and kind of out of focus. Go back to this, and now, here you go. People are asking, I don't have a power wire, a hard wire to it. It didn't come with it, so we're ordering it. It gets here tomorrow. But I just, this is my fatal flaw. I can't wait. I can't wait. I can't wait. I can't wait. That's a song that people sang at one time. Okay. Let's talk a little bit about refugees. You know, ooh la la la. It's the refugee song that I can't remember the lyrics for. Ooh la la la, refugees are great. That's how the song went, right? there. Okay, so we have the big Paris terror attacks, and for some reason, we are now in, you know, embroiled in this gigantic conversation about what we are doing with letting in Syrian refugees. Because we have ISIS, which is the people perpetrating all this, you know, silly boy nonsense. And then we have, you know, this is, of course, ISIS is the Islamic State in Syria. And you got a lot of people who are dealing with a effectively a civil war in Syria. And they're getting the fuck out of there. They're leaving. Now, Europe is a lot closer to Syria than, you know, than the United States is. But for whatever reason, this has now become an issue. You know, this has now become something that that people are focusing on. I really have. It puzzles me. The idea, immigration, and I want someone to write in and explain to me why what I think about immigration doesn't make sense, or I'm not thinking enough about it, okay? Because I grew up, you know, in South Florida. South Florida has a very unique immigration situation, because not only is it the, you know, South America and Central America's gateway to these continental United States. However, it also has a loophole. If you're not familiar about this, ever since the communist revolution in Cuba, America's had what they call the wet foot, dry foot policy. Here's what wet foot, dry foot is. If you can outrun the Coast Guard, okay, step one, outrun the Coast Guard, and then make your way to shore and get on the, you know, get on sand, then that means you get to be in America. Like, no questions asked, no paperwork. You literally just get, as long as you get on the beach, congratulations, welcome to America, buddy. That's it. That's all that needs to happen. Because we're not on good enough terms with them, with Cuba, to kick people back. Now, maybe that'll change now that we're normalizing relations. But throughout my entire adult life, that's how things have been. So you combine the fact that we have had effective amnesty for Cuban Americans, and you have a tremendous influx of Latin Americans, as well as so many other people, you know, just because America, or sorry, Miami and Fort Lauderdale are international cities, that I have a hard time understanding what the big deal is. I have a hard time understanding what it means when people are like, oh, we're going to lose our culture. Because, you know, I grew up in Fort Lauderdale. I grew up specifically in Davie, Florida. Davie, Florida has a rodeo. It is a pretty white bread place. There's a Kiss Country chili cook-off. It's a big thing in the summer. And people are still racist. Like, it's nothing has changed. It has a little hint of a southern kind of element to it, right? Like, the existence of other cultures, for me, and again, I'm not saying that my opinion is right. It is just something that I can't personally wrap my head around. Because it really only makes the region radder. Waffleophagus says, is that the official policy or just how it happens? No, literally, look up wet foot, dry foot. It is called the wet foot, dry foot policy. And, you know, people in Los Angeles have these, you know, memories of people, you know, going and, you know, car chases. Car chases became a big thing in the 90s. And all of a sudden, you're in the middle of the day, you're watching Price is Right, and we interrupt this program to bring you a car chase. And the fact that people were covering them made it something that the police had to handle differently. Like, there were no more high-speed car chases. You know, you would have low-speed car chases, or the police would not chase after you because people were doing it on purpose, at least the thought was, because they were getting on television. And if they didn't get on television, then and the police didn't chase them, then maybe you would save lives in the offing, right? So Wabbit Magic makes a very, very good point about the wet foot, dry foot policy. And here, this all kind of ties together. So in my childhood, there was probably one case that became nationally known in terms of the wet foot, dry foot policy. That was Elian Gonzalez. Now, I was dating a girl at the time whose dad was a cameraman for WSVN Channel 7, the Fox affiliate in South Florida. Thanksgiving Eve, the day of Thanksgiving, that dude had to cut out because he was a cameraman during there was a big flotilla of Cubans that were landing in Miami. It was big news. He had to rush out of dinner and go ahead and cover it. Or maybe he was out covering it when he came back from dinner. So this was regular programming for us. The idea of a bunch of Cubans trying to outrun the Coast Guard and get on land, that was television. That was something that was covered a lot. Elian Gonzalez became a gigantic story because South Florida already knew about it. They already knew about like what was happening, but it became famous because 9 times out of 10, you have somebody that gets to America. That's it. They stay. It just so happened that Elian's mom died on the way to Florida. So now the dad was the only parental guardian. And the dad was like, hey, he needs to come back. So now it became a big issue. But beyond all that, like, just somebody explain to me, like, I understand why politicians make a big deal about it. Because, again, politicians, this is something we talk about in politics a lot, is you know, politicians' only job is to get people into a booth to vote. I'm just curious about, you know, regular Americans that are like, hey, man, I don't know about all these Syrian refugees. Like, I want to hear. No judgment. We can go into anonymous email mode. I just want people to email in because I want to understand this. And on the other side of that, all I wanted to let you know is that it just makes stuff rad. The more immigrants roll in, the better off you are. The restaurants get better. Yeah, every once in a while you roll into a neighborhood and you can't read the billboards. But other than that, it's fine. You know, English is still going to be the national language. You know, there's not going to be any, press 2 for English when you call 911. It's fine. It's good. I want to hear it, though. JustinRobertYoung@gmail.com. JustinRobertYoung@gmail.com. We're going to play songs from Dadak again today during the episode. So, welcome to the jury show. FLS Carnage rightly pointing out that there is no national language, therefore English cannot be the national language. Fine, but it is effectively the national language, right? I think we can say that we are a nation of English speakers by and large. It is the most popular language. Would that be the way to do it? It is the language for which it is the dominant language. I think it'll remain the dominant language. Big event coming up this Thursday. Speaking of Thanksgiving, Ashley and I got married a couple months ago. We went out east for that. We have decided no more family, all right? Family's great. We love family. We are very excited to see them at all times. However, we spent a lot of money this year. We're going to keep it home. But we want to share it with you guys. So tune in this Thursday, I believe beginning at like 2 o'clock Pacific. We, Ashley and I, are going to be on the stream for, actually, I think it's earlier than that. I think it's like 11 a.m. Pacific time. We will be cooking all day, effectively all day. If you want to come on to twitch.tv/fakegamergirl or twitch.tv/jurystone, you will watch Ashley and I cooking for the entire day. It's going to be super rad. And really, this week kind of kicks off me starting to broadcast on Twitch. One of the biggest things that I wanted to do when I quit my job was stream more. I wanted to do just more streaming, and specifically Twitch streaming. So I kind of had this idea that years ago, I kind of stopped playing video games. I stopped spending money on video games. 10 a.m., even earlier. 10 a.m. we start streaming. Thanksgiving. Blow off your family. Spend it with us. Twitch.tv/fakegamergirl. So I stopped playing video games because I wanted to focus on my career. I get a little obsessive with video games. I have gotten obsessive with Hearthstone, which is not a video game. It's the only thing that I don't play video games. I play Hearthstone is something I like saying. However, now that Twitch exists, which is an amazing platform with an amazing community that some of my best friends or good friends have done really, really well on, building great communities like Curly at Drunk Kids Gaming and April Viking Lash, Ashley has with the cooking streams. OMG Chad, of course. With that, you know, all of a sudden I look over and it's like, wow, the skill sets you need are to be able to talk extemporaneously and hang out with people online. And I'm like, well, good goddamn, if I ain't been building up that muscle for the last 5 years, I don't know what I have. So beginning this week, twitch.tv/jurystone, I bring down the banners. I'm unretiring from video games, and it starts this week. So the question is, what game do I start with? Because the theme of my stream is going to be that I have missed about effectively 15 years of video games. I've been out of the loop. I need to be re-educated. Think of me like a defrosting Austin Powers. You know, finally, those capitalists will pay for their crimes. Eh, comrade? Eh? Eh? So this week, we begin with what I feel to be a very fitting game to start things off. And that's going to be a game that is themed around somebody being cryogenically unfrozen. I begin my video game career by playing Fallout 4. I'm seeing a ton of great suggestions down there in the chat room. They will all come to fruition. I will be very excited. All the portals, all the 2K, WWE 2K16, everything. We will play it. However, we begin with Fallout 4 this week, and hopefully, we've got some really rad announcements coming up, because I got some fun things that I want to talk to people about and get on board before we announce it. Balloon Knot says the Mass Effect trilogy. Listen, I'm super excited to do it. Give me all the games you want me to play at Justin R. Young on Twitter. Jurystone begins in this week. We're going to talk about saying goodbye coming up right after this. get into our main event here today. This is my last week at the Go Game. I've talked about the Go Game on this stream before. It's something that has meant a lot to me. You know, in many ways, if I hadn't started working at the Go Game, my life would be extraordinarily different. Not the least of which, I don't know if I'd be with Ashley. You know, Ashley and I were dating long distance, and we were at a point in which we kind of had to poop or get off the pot. And by that, I mean live together in the same place. I was not willing to move to Ohio. She was not willing to move to Florida. And this opportunity of being moved out to California was really what saved our relationship. And I think that that's something that I owe a lot to. I also kind of grew up a lot. When I left Florida, I was very, very, very nervous. I don't know if I've ever talked about this before, but I was working with my buddy Andrew Main, and it was more than a job in Florida. You know, Andrew was another one, you know, who, you know, I moved down from New York. I was in a really, really bad place. I worked with Andrew for whatever reason, man. I always just get into these emotional sort of, you know, moments with these jobs. I invest myself a lot. And that's kind of the good and the bad element of investing yourself in something is that, number one, it becomes more than just a gig. But number two, when it goes away or it's time to end, it's not just something you can fold up and put in a drawer. It's something that you tear yourself away from. It's something that you have separation anxiety from. So when I took the Go Game job and I was at the point where I was leaving, I was so nervous about the fact that I would be hurting Andrew by leaving that I wound up getting a rash on my skin. This was a completely psychosomatic rash. Like it just totally, it came out of nowhere. And it was only because I was so nervous that I was doing Andrew, I was not a good partner, that I'd quit on my friend. I didn't just quit a job. I was leaving my best friend in the lurch, or almost more damaging, I was saying to him that I didn't believe in him as I once did. Now, none of this was true. I was just worried that Andrew would think that. So what's different? What's different now? I still have a lot of that anxiety with the Go Game. I'm afraid that I'm leaving the Go Game without making it a better place. I'm afraid I didn't do enough. I'm afraid that I could have done better. And I'm afraid that I'm like leaving sends a bad signal or means that I don't like them or means that there is some kind of message behind it. Now, none of that's true. And I'm not getting a rash this time, which is good. But it's made me think a lot about saying goodbye. We talk a lot about relationships on this show and not just the romantic ones, although holy shit, we have a doozy coming up. But I've never been good at goodbyes. And I don't mean that in that I don't say them or I just kind of ghost out. Like, I just find them to be the melodrama that builds up in my head can very often be unrealistic compared to what's actually happening. I read a lot into people's body language. I read a lot into people's speech patterns. I wonder and go over and over and over again in my head whether or not things are as I hope they are or if people are reading into my actions. I very often find the worst possible conclusions and I believe that people have very negative thoughts when I've exited. And I don't know whether or not I'm unique in that. I don't know how much this is something that, like, in general, I don't know how much we talk about as, you know, just, you know, friend to friend, like in society. I don't know if that's a conversation that is had often, that, like, you know, are you good or bad at saying goodbye? Do you find yourself good at exiting a situation? Because we put a lot of emphasis on whether or not you are good at making first impressions. That's a huge thing that we think about all the time. That I make a good first impression. You work diligently on your appearance, your mannerisms, on making sure that you, at optimum, make a good first impression. And we can describe one, right? You don't smell, you're pleasant, you make eye contact, you shake a hand, you're nice, you're funny. Like, there's a lot of things that you can put on a good first impression. What about a good last impression? We don't ever really think about that. Like, what is a good last impression? Well, you leave them with a wink and a song. Like, you know, because endings are kind of fake in movies, you know. Happily Ever After is literally just there because you can't, you know, it's boring to live out the rest of the life. So what is a good last impression? What is a good way to say goodbye? And is there any possible way? Because in a first impression, you know whether or not that first impression went well because you then have a relationship afterward, right? But you're fresh out of context if it's a last impression, if it's a goodbye, you know? Like, you don't get to send a survey 6 months later on a scale from 1 to 6. How would you rank that goodbye? Although I feel like that's a Web 2.0 idea right there. So I want to know from people, because I feel like there's a lot of reaction here in the chat room. I feel like we're going to get some feedback on this, because I'm not good at it. Tomorrow might be my last day going into the Go Game as an employee, because I got to go in. I got to take care of some stuff. But beyond that, I don't really have a whole lot of reason to be there. Now, am I doing good by leaving and just not going back randomly? Am I doing bad? You know, will my presence be a distraction? What if I want to go back? Like, just to hang out and say hi to people that are my friends. You know? Because then you get into a situation beyond the goodbye where you can never go home again, right? There's, you know, and I think this is absolutely true, that no matter what, there's never going to be a moment where you can go back in time and enjoy not only what you had, but more than that, the halcyon, golden-hued version of it that we put into our own heads. You know, you don't get to have that. That's gone forever. So in many ways, maybe the goodbye doesn't matter, you know? The goodbye is just something that that happens no matter what. And anything else is just a flourish. We'll be back with your emails coming up after this. You can email the show, justinrobertyoung@gmail.com. Put Jerry in the subject line. This was maybe my favorite email of the week. It comes to us from Drew. Drew writes, "Recognizing that you are always on the bleeding edge, I wanted to do my part and fill you in on a new phrase I just overheard while working on interview segments for a popular Atlanta R&B-based reality television show. Ahem. Send that man a 1099 because he's been freelancing that dick all around town. Thought you might appreciate it, considering you too will be freelancing that dick full time now. Congrats. Send that man a 1099 because he's been freelancing that dick all around town. That is amazing. I love that. All right. We've got a new segment. I feel like it's very quickly, become one of the favorites. So let's just go ahead. We've got two forms of it this week, and that is the light and the dark. We're operating at maximum Star Wars levels because we have the light and the dark of this, our favorite new segment.
Yo, get it twisted. This rap shit is mine, motherfuckers. A fucking game. Fuck what you heard.
X gon' give it to you, ladies and gentlemen.
It's what you hearing. Listen. It's what you hearing. Listen. It's what you hearing. Listen. X gon' give it to you. Fuck, wait for you to get it on your own. X gon' deliver to you.
All right. Anthony writes, I moved to high school when I was 16. I was so excited. All right, here we go. We're going to start over again. This is the good one. This was the light and the dark. This is the light. We start smart. Anthony writes, I moved to high school when I was 16. I was excited about it. A few months in, I noticed some serious attention from a beautiful girl I thought was way out of my league. Her name was Kira, and we started spending a lot of time together. I couldn't believe that it was possible that she could be interested in me, and I was so elated I entered her orbit. Then he writes a lot, and it is a beautiful, stirring story, but we're just going to go ahead and... Skipping ahead. I grew a beard. It doesn't seem important, but it was. And after a couple weeks, she decided to come and visit me. So basically, they missed their connection, and then they started reconnecting. It was at that point that I didn't believe anything was ever going to happen between us relationship-wise. But if she kept coming to visit me, then we could at least have sex and have some serious closure. When she came to visit, the first thing I did was get out of my car and kiss her. It was a dramatic shift, almost like the gravity shifted from her to me. Now, I wasn't in the orbit. I had my own gravity, and we were swirling around each other. I had confidence and swagger. I looked different and more mature, and I backed it up by not being a puppy and nipping at her heels. We dated a few years, got engaged, and we have been married for over 2 years and have a 3-month-old. Kira's my best friend and my wife. Sometimes she says she wishes she hadn't been so dumb and had just dated me in high school, but I wasn't the same person then. And I was, as I was when I started dating her, when it actually worked out. The point is that people like dating people. They don't want to date a sycophant that puts them on a pedestal. Obviously, not everybody gets somebody like that. But this is not meant to tell you to try harder. I assume this is all talking to Gabriel, who nobody wants to see be a sucker with this lady. If you haven't understood the story of Gabriel, then just go back a couple episodes ago. He's really in a bad spot, and he's fallen into the orbit, as this man says, of his ex-girlfriend. That's why Jury's dress for success angle works. It portrays confidence in yourself. Don't worry about her. Worry about you. And then her will happen on their, and then the hers will happen on her own. Doesn't make sense. Good luck, man. So here we go. There's the light version of X gonna give it to you. His ex, it happened. They went their separate ways. He was crushed. He was sad. He was a puppy nipping at her heels. And then all of a sudden he grew a beard, became a full grown man, and got the girl like he wanted to. Why? Because he didn't think that she was the end all be all, the solution to his problems. He believed that they were just cool folks that he would like to kiss and have sex with. But if there's a light side, then ladies and gentlemen, there is a sinister equivalent.
Do it again, yeah. I am light, so I got to win. Break bread with the enemy. No matter how many cats I break bread with, I break who you send to me. You motherfuckers never want to know what your life is.
And that comes from Knox. Knox writes, I recently had to relocate to Tulsa, Oklahoma from Springfield, Missouri due to a rather nasty breakup. I met my ex-wife whilst we were both employed at the local Pizza Hut. Holy crap. That is going to be the name of this episode. Whilst we were both employed at the local Pizza Hut. That is an amazing sentence. He writes it. Whilst we were both employed at the local Pizza Hut. She was married at the time and I was going through a divorce myself. After 2 years of working together, she decides to leave her husband and be with me. As we get together, I start to find out more and more about why she is the way she is. Bipolar disorder, and she refused to get help at all. I fell head over heels for her and didn't care that I had to handle the occasional burst of emotional roller coaster and her abusing me verbally. This continues over the course of 3 years, which I continued to grow into a better person for myself and my now 6-year-old daughter from my marriage, not the ex I'm talking about. She refused to move on or up with her life and was content smoking enough weed each day to tranquilize a horse. It culminated in July this year, wherein she has a bad episode and gets into an argument with me, then going and fucking a roommate in the next room. I'm scared to wonder whether or not this was in the same time. Like, it was like, hey, you're a fucker, I hate you. Anyway, I'm going to go literally fuck the roommate. After that happened, we broke up. Less than a week later, she talks my roommate into kicking me out of the house immediately. She gave me 15 minutes to get out one night at about 2 in the morning after she started another fight with me. Everything I was not able to take with me, I had hoped they would give me a chance to pick up the next day. Instead, I got a slew of photos from my ex where they show step-by-step boxing up my daughter's things and my own and subsequently lighting them on fire. In fact, he doesn't write that. He says subsequently lighting them aflame. This is the most flowery prose shit show story I have ever heard in my entire life. But here is where ex... it indeed does give it to him. He writes, when it comes to now, that's been 3, almost 4 months, and I'm still in love with her. Cue the Jerry Springer. Oh, what the hell is wrong with me? Why the fuck would I give a shit about someone like that who did that to me and destroyed my daughter's toys and clothes? What in the hot hell, Knox? Come on. It's your old internet pal, Jury. What the? No. No. There's no. I mean, like, okay, I understand. The heart wants what the heart wants. But what you are craving right now is stability. We just talked in that last segment about saying goodbye. We talked in the last segment about how you can never go home again. Well, guess what? Whatever element of that relationship for which you are pining for is over, dog. It is done like dinner. It only exists between your ears, and it's got a sepia filter on it at that. Because what you are doing, my friend, is downright stupid. You had to move out. Your daughter, for whom? Is dependent on you, not only as a provider, but as a role model, is watching you and saying, Dad's a sucker if he gets back with her. Dad's a sucker every time he picks up the phone. You need to be better. You need to be better, Knox, for her. Even more for you. You need to understand that that is a toxic shit show of a relationship. X done giving it to you. She gave it to you. She also gave it to your roommate. And then she gave that box containing your daughter's toys and clothes a nice lighteroo and gave a bonfire to the entire neighborhood. And what did you do about it? You moved away, you licked your heels, and then you write me saying, I'm still in love with her? Come on. I believe in you, Knox. I believe that you can be better than the sucker that wrote that last paragraph. I like the dude who's writing to me about, I met my ex whilst we were both working at Pizza Hut. That's the man. The man who said she lit my daughter's stuff aflame. That is a witty, interesting, charismatic person. And that lady is literally just a train wreck of a human, and you need to get the hot hell away from her. We got some more dumb car stories. I was in the infantry at Fort Hood, Texas. Every Tuesday, we had to do something called command maintenance, which meant going to the motor pool and inspecting our vehicle and making sure that everything was in working order. Occasionally, this maintenance day got moved for mission requirements. This particular week, maintenance happened on a Thursday, and I was responsible for a large cargo truck, commonly referred to as a deuce and a half. I did all my basic checks and then fired it up to check under the hood. Just as I started the truck, I got called away by my supervisor who told me, quote, leave it running, this won't take long. We all left the motor pool and held a formation for a promotion ceremony. Immediately following that ceremony, we were dismissed to begin a 3-day holiday weekend. When I got back to work Monday morning, I had to go straight to the motor pool and grab my truck because we had a bunch of stuff that morning. To my horror, I found the car still running. This truck had an 80-gallon fuel tank, but was now below a fourth of a tank. That is pretty stupid, Scott. He wound up figuring it out, though. I cut that part, because everyone likes the dumb stuff. Nobody likes the happy stuff. Phil writes, my neighborhood had a shit show Burger King. It got bulldozed and replaced by a Pollo Tropical. In retrospect, I think all Burger Kings are shit show Burger Kings. There is definitely a phrase that Andrew and I have, dirty as a Burger King, because all Burger Kings are kind of dirty. And finally, Mailman Morgan writes, I've been thinking about the parallels between Diamond Clubbians and the Marauders from Harry Potter, as one does. Tom is Lupin, being the upstanding one. You are serious in that you have beard-filled shenanigans. But I can't decide if Andrew or Brian is more like Wormtail. One explicitly says not to trust him, while the other is headmaster of scam school. Let me know your thoughts. Die in a fire, though. Mailman Morgan. Well, Mailman Morgan, I don't know. I mean, except for the fact that I do promise that I am indeed up to no good. That about brings us to the end of this episode of the Justin Robert Young Podcast. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. This has been an amazing week. My first week of kind of getting into the new habit now that I am indeed freelancing that dick all around town. We've got some really exciting stuff on the horizon. Hopefully I'll be able to get this white balance thing working. But until next time, if you find yourself still in love with your lunatic ex-girlfriend, if you find yourself scared of Syrian refugees, if you find yourself alone on Thanksgiving and not remembering that Twitchgiving starts at 10 a.m. Pacific time at twitch.tv/fakegamergirl, well, then I want you to please, please listen to my voice and hear the words, please don't die. Yeah.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.